1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 6, and 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 2 to 9. I'll be concentrating on the Chronicles passage. There's one item in 1 Kings verse 15, chapter 15, verse 6, that has something not in 2 Chronicles, namely that the war between Jeroboam and Abijah was throughout the lifetime of Abijah. But I'm concentrating on the 2 Chronicles 13. What do we have here? Well, we have the fact that there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And we read in verse 3 that Abijah went into battle with a force of 400,000 able fighting men. And Jeroboam mustered double that number, 800,000 able troops. So the odds were difficult for Abijah, but the war is engaged. Now, if you remember, his father, Rehoboam, had avoided war. He wanted war with Jeroboam, but the prophet Shemaiah had stopped him. And Rehoboam had yielded under God and had not gone to war with Jeroboam. But now war has broken out, and Abijah is engaged with overwhelming odds against him. And what we have here now in the rest of this section, from verse 4 to verse 9, we have what I'm going to say and call the preacher in time of war. Now, that's the first bite of the cherry. We'll come back again in another discourse, the following discourse, to see how he continues in his discourse, his sermon. The preacher in time of war. What do we read? Abijah stood on Mount Zemaraim in the hill country of Ephraim, and he called out to Jeroboam and all Israel, "Listen to me." He lifts up his voice. He really is a preacher. He doesn't mumble in his beard. He doesn't look down at his notes. He stands there and he preaches. "Don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant of salt?" Tremendous calling upon history, laying down the facts, and setting out with clarity and with dogmatism and with authority this historical statement. God has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant of salt. Yet, verse 6, Jeroboam, son of Nebat, you over there, you see, he's addressing him straight, an official of Solomon. There's your connection, son of David. You were in that family connection. You were related, as it were, by work, by office. You weren't actually a relation of Solomon, but you were official. You were in his entourage. You were there. You had all this opportunity, yet you rebelled against your master. Verse 7. Some worthless scoundrels gathered around Jeroboam. That's you over there. And opposed Rehoboam, son of Solomon, when he was young and indecisive and not strong enough to resist him. So he gives Jeroboam and the troops of Israel a history lesson. He can certainly preach. And then he goes on, verse 8, "And now you plan to resist the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hands of David's descendants." He admits, "Yeah, you are indeed a vast army." And then he says, "Look at all the accoutrements you got. And you have with you the golden calves that Jeroboam made to be your gods." But he hits Jeroboam here. He reminds him, he lays out before him his sin, these golden calves. "Didn't you drive out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, the sons, and make priests of your own down as the peoples of other lands do? You copied the nations. And you made your own priests, and you made your own gods, you made idols. Whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams may become a priest of what are not gods." Excellent stuff. He's showing the idolatry, the rebellion, the breakdown in the north, the sin, the corruption, the evil. He's spelling it out in no uncertain terms. He is a great preacher in a time of war. He knows the historical position. He knows the theological position. He knows Israel's position. He knows what God has done. He knows what God has revealed. He knows what's wrong. He's spelling out sin. Tremendous, tremendous stuff. But, yes, there's a dreadful fly in this ointment. We shall come to it more in the next discourse. But already we have been told, have we not, in the previous discourse, that all the lifetime of Abijah, he rebelled against the Lord. You remember, we've already had the verdict, God's verdict, upon Abijah, not Jeroboam. We know what God's verdict is of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, we know that. But we've had God's verdict on Abijah, and Abijah is condemned by God as disobedient to God, breaking the covenant, transgressing the laws of the Lord. And yet here, this transgressor of God's law, this breaker of the covenant, is having the gall to preach. Yeah, we have to admit it, a fine sermon. But he preaches a sermon, not only against Jeroboam, but if he only can realize it, against himself. Yeah, he can see the plank in his brother's eye, as it were. What about the speck in his brother's eye? What about the plank in his own? Yes, Abijah can preach to others, but he should first preach to himself. He knows his history, but he should apply it. He knows Israel's position. He knows the covenant, but he should keep it. What a warning this is to me. Here am I preaching to you, telling you, addressing you, calling upon sinners to trust Christ, calling upon saints to be sanctified. But the first person I must preach to is myself. What a challenge this is. All preachers, and I'm one, but I address all preachers listening to me. Don't be an Abijah, able to preach a fine sermon, a good sermon, a great sermon, but missing the point, which is self. Is this hypocrisy? Or is it ignorance? Which is it? Do I see myself here? What a challenge. What about you, brother? But what about you, sister, too? Because it applies to all believers. We're not saved by our knowledge. We're not saved because we can show the faults of others. We're not made right because we can see what's wrong elsewhere. We may know the truth. The truth will set us free if we obey it. And it's true for the unbeliever, too. You're not saved by knowledge. You can know that Jesus is the Son of God. You can know that he died on the cross. You can know that his blood washes away sin. You can know that he's coming again in judgment. You can know that you have to stand before him. You can know there's a heaven and a hell and all the rest of it. You're not saved by knowledge. What are you doing with the knowledge? Look at Abijah. He has the facts at his fingertips. He can preach. He understands. He's clear, but he won't obey. For we know that all his lifetime, he was disobedient to God. The preacher, in time of war, that's the first bite of the cherry. But what a solemn thing. A great preacher. But the trouble is, he doesn't know how to address himself and apply it to himself. He's good at addressing Jeroboam, but what about Abijah? God speak to me through this. May God speak to you through this, my friend, too. Believer and unbeliever. Oh, God, may we apply your word first and foremost to ourselves. We pray, O God, that you'll show us what is wrong, show us what is right, but may we not just know these things. May we walk in the light of your word to the glory of your name. May we be hearers and doers of the word, not simply preachers of it, but doers of it for ourselves, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.